Farm Talk on C103 with Dairygold Prime Elite Rumi Force Calf Cube. Maximize calf performance and health at grass by optimizing the function of the rumen.
Welcome to the Dairygold Farm Talk program with John O'Connor. Later in the program, Dairygold organise meetings and speakers to boost farmer morale during the current extended bad weather situation. Dairygold confirm their ongoing support with farmer relief payments and weather-related supports. Several other topics in this issue of the Dairygold Farm Talk programme, including results from the recent Cork West ploughing match, and also Amy Ford, news editor, Irish Farmers Journal, on the dairy cow reduction situation, the update. But first, Dairygold confirms a 2.0 cents per litre weather fodder relief payment plus a strong quoted price for March milk. Dairygold, our sponsor, has announced a weather fodder relief payment of 2.0 cents per litre, including VAT, and has maintained the March quoted milk price at 40.0 cents per litre, based on standard constituents of 3.3% protein and 3.6% butter fat, inclusive of sustainability and quality bonuses and VAT. In addition, the March early calving bonus of 1.0 cents per litre, excluding VAT, will be paid on milk supplied in March in accordance with the milk quality criteria. The attainable Dairygold milk price for March milk is therefore 43.0 cents per litre, including VAT, at standard constituents, including weather, fodder relief payment, and the early calving bonus. The March milk price equates to an average farm gate milk price of 46.6 cents per litre, based on the average March 2024 milk solids achieved by Dairygold milk suppliers. The quoted milk price for March, based on EU standard constituents of 3.4% protein and 4.2% butter fat, is 45.7 cents per litre, including the early calving bonus and the weather fodder relief payment, inclusive of VAT. A Dairygold company spokesperson commented that, quote, "The Dairygold board recognises the significant challenges that the ongoing adverse weather conditions are causing for our milk suppliers, and therefore committed to paying a strong milk price from March, with the inclusion of a weather fodder relief payment for March milk only. Dairy market returns remain uncertain due to the continuing weaker demand, particularly in China. The Dairygold board say they'll continue to monitor markets closely and review milk price on a monthly basis," end of quote. Upcoming events. A Chagas Dairygold joint programme farm walk has been organised in connection with breeding guidelines for 2024, the appropriate farm stocking rate, and 2024 nutrient management. It takes place on Tuesday, 23rd of April, 11 a.m. Venue will be Tim O'Riordan, Moornabbey Mallow, County Cork, area code P51Y8D5. That's Tuesday, 23rd of April, 11 a.m, on the lands of Tim O'Riordan, Moornabbey Mallow, County Cork, by kind permission, area code P51Y8D5. The IFA will hold a very important information meeting on farm succession and inheritance. It takes place on Friday, 26th of April, 2024, at 10:30 a.m, Vienna Woods Hotel in Cork. That's Friday, 26th of April, 2024, 10:30 a.m, venue, Vienna Woods Hotel, Cork. Speaker, IFA Deputy President, Miss Alice Doyle. All welcome to attend. ICSA Beef Chair, Mr. John Cleary, has slammed the proposal to reduce the nutrient excretion rates of heifers while increasing the rates for male cattle as part of the interim review of the Nitrates Action Programme. Mr. Cleary said, quote, "As an organisation representing dry stock farmers, we believe these changes are fundamentally unfair and biased. It appears to us, the ICSA, to be no more than a, quote, deliberate manoeuvre to skew nitrate data in favour of one sector at the expense of another. part of an extensive statement there from the ICSA National Beef Chair, Mr. John Cleary. Next in the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, the background to the Irish Farmers Journal banner headline on the front page of the issue 20th of April 2024, Minister Kills Cow Exit Plan. More information from Miss Amy Ford, News Editor, Irish Farmers Journal.
We're joined on the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme by Miss Amy Ford, News Editor, Irish Farmers Journal. Amy, welcome to the programme. Now, the front page story, the banner headline on this week's Irish Farmers Journal, Minister Kills Exit Cow Plan. What's the background to that? I understand there are some very, very important questions lying in that headline, Minister Kills Cow Exit Plan.
That's correct, John. So this is the dairy cow reduction plan, or scheme, I suppose, that was mooted from the Food Vision Dairy Group way back, it seems like a lifetime ago at this stage, back in November 2022. So the background to this is in January 2022, so over 2 years ago, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, he set up the Food Vision Dairy Group to look at ways, essentially, and that group was to look at ways that the sector could reduce its emissions, essentially. And one of the recommendations that it landed on was a voluntary exit or reduction scheme. And that scheme would essentially have compensated farmers to get out of dairy farming altogether or to reduce the numbers in their herds. So essentially then that report was sitting on the minister's desk and he had a decision to make as to whether to obviously go ahead with that or not. And I suppose, you know, all this time later, you know, 13, 14, 15 months later, he's finally made a decision on that and he's totally scrapped it. So he has told the Irish Farmers Journal that while he can't control the market or the weather, he can give clarity around certain policy directions. And that includes taking the dairy cow reduction scheme off the table, the minister said. So something that's been, I suppose, sitting around in the background for a while, John, and now the minister has moved to scrap that scheme altogether.
And according to the Irish Farmers Journal article, I understand that the minister is coming under intense and increasing pressure from co-op CEOs. They want to see a clear plan for derogation retention, because apparently after 2026 we'll be the only EU member state seeking derogation, seeing as Denmark apparently won't be reapplying.
Yeah, that's correct. So look, obviously it's no secret that milk production has fallen over the first 3 months of this year compared to last year. You know, we're nearly a decade on from post quota and they are gone since 2015, and there was a big burst of milk production since then. I suppose the thing that allowed us to increase so much by so fast was the nitrates derogation in one way, and especially in recent years. Now that's up for renegotiation for 2026 onwards, and as you say there, Denmark this week has announced that it will not be reapplying for its nitrates derogation, and their derogation runs out at the end of July of this year. The Netherlands let derogation, they're the only other country aside from Ireland and Denmark that have this derogation. They're finished at the end of 2025. They're having a phase-out period. So come 2026, Ireland will potentially be the only country in the EU that has a nitrates derogation. And co-op CEOs are piling pressure on the minister in recent weeks to come up with a plan or a roadmap to ensure that that derogation is retained, to ensure that milk production can stay where it is, basically, so that it doesn't drop further. Because if the derogation is cut, you know, from 250 or 230 right down to 170, that is going to result in a fall off in milk production around the country. And these co-ops and processors have invested in stainless steel pre and post quota to cope with the extra volumes of milk that were forecast to come. So the next couple of months and weeks will be very interesting in that respect, John.
But you will hear some of the experts emphasise to farmers and the wider non-farming world that it's the rate of emissions, not the actual size of our national herd, it's the rate of emissions. And if Chagask and other scientific people are working on ways of reducing the emissions per cow, well then it's not so much the number of cows, it's the rate of emissions, the total emissions coming from livestock.
Yeah, that's correct, John. I suppose something that was out there, this was always touted as a voluntary scheme for farmers to voluntarily apply to, and the minister did point that out several times over the last 16 months or so, that that there would be no compulsory herd reduction, essentially, in name anyways, if that makes sense. If the derogation is entertained, there will have to be herd cuts to comply with that figure, obviously. But the minister was it was always a voluntary scheme, and look, now that's off the table, I suppose. At the time when that was announced, John, as well, a lot of farmers had said that they would have applied for it, because maybe they were getting on in years, or they were just tired of milking cows, if you get me. And there is a good few dairy clearance sales on in the coming weeks. Some farmers said that they would have signed up for it, you know, to be paid to reduce number there, to get out and maybe do something different, while other farmers were flat out against it. So look, the next few months and weeks on both the derogation and the climate emissions front will be interesting to keep an eye on.
Well, certainly we'll be watching the Irish Farmers Journal headlines. And congratulations, by the way, Amy, the Irish Farmers Journal win Media Brand of the Year for 2023. So congratulations there for being Media Brand of the Year, the Irish Farmers Journal.
Thanks very much, John.
You're very welcome. So thanks very much indeed, Amy, and we await further information and developments which we read about in the Irish Farmers Journal. Thank you very much indeed. Miss Amy Ford, News Editor, Irish Farmers Journal. Thank you, Amy. Joining us on the Farm Talk programme, we have Miss Caroline Jennings, PRO for the Cork West Ploughing Association. Caroline, it's been some time since we've had any news about Cork West ploughing match results, due, of course, to weather conditions nationwide, really. So, Caroline, you've an update now on the current situation with ploughing in Cork West.
I have indeed, John. Now, finally, after almost 10 weeks of cancelling and rain and poor ground conditions and generally weather, Timoleague Ploughing Association took the plunge last week and held their annual ploughing match on Sunday the 14th of April on the lands of Niall and Rosaline O'Donovan, Garan Druig, Timoleague. The results are as follows. The conventional senior, first, Kieran Coakley, 118 marks. Second, Jim Grace, 108 marks. Third, Ger Kirby, 102 marks. Intermediate, first, Stanley Dean, with 103 marks. Second, Jackie O'Driscoll, with 102 marks. In the under 28 conventional, we had one competitor, and that was Noel Nine, and he received 101 marks. The under 21s, first, Jeff Witcherly with 104 marks, second, James Jennings with 99 marks. The ladies, first, Katie Hayes with 103 marks, second, Ellen Nine with 96 marks. In the three forest standard, there was only one competitor, and that was Kevin O'Driscoll, and he received 91 marks. The Mockra, one competitor also, and that was Keane Harrington, who received 85 marks. The senior reversible, first, Ger Coakley, 129 marks. Second, Liam O'Driscoll, 124 marks. The under 28 reversible, first, Fleur Witcherly with 95 marks. Second, Conor O'Farrell with 91 marks. In the 3-4 reversible, first, Polly Walsh with 118 marks. And second, Ger Lawler with 88 marks. In the vintage open hydraulic, first, Jan O'Neill with 100 marks. Second, Dennis Cummins, 95 marks. Third, Michael Coomey, 72 marks. Then in the trailer, there was only one competitor, and that was John Wolfe, and he got 108 marks. The single furrow, also only one competitor, and that was Gordon Jennings with 98 marks. In the confined hydraulic, one competitor, and that was Andy Mahan, and he received 87 marks. Now, the final two matches of the ploughing season are to be held this weekend. So today, Saturday the 20th, and tomorrow, Sunday the 21st of April. Clagach will hold their annual ploughing match today, Saturday the 20th of April, on the lands of Charlie and Valerie O'Connell, Barleyfield, Kilbritton. And the air code nearest to that site is P72CR68. And ploughing will commence at 11 a.m. sharp. Then tomorrow, Sunday the 21st, Clanachilty will hold their annual ploughing match, as well as hosting the Cork West Ploughing Association County Final. This match is to be held on the lands of Mr. John Sutton, Rock Savage, Clanachilty, P85E436. Now, entries are to be with me, Caroline Jennings, on 087-6779-553. That phone number again, 087 07779553 by 10 a.m. today, Saturday the 20th. Ploughing will also commence at 11 a.m. sharp tomorrow, Sunday. Now, for a couple of upcoming events, the Cork West Novice Match, weather permitting, will be held on Saturday the 27th of April. Now, this is being hosted by Cahirmore Ploughing Association, and it will be ploughed on the lands of Morris Line, Tullaniski, Clonakilty. Now, anyone that's interested and would like to enter, they should contact Barry O'Sullivan on 087-246-3420. That phone number again, 087-246-3420. On the 28th of April, the Sunday, there's a memorial walking tilling day in memory of DJ Courtney. It's to be held in Blewitt Skipperine and will start at 11:30 a.m. Any inquiries are to be sent to Fergus on 087-625-6496. So that number is 625-6496. Now, I will have more details of that next week with the results from the two ploughing matches this weekend.
So thank you very much indeed, Miss Caroline Jennings, PRO for the Cork West Ploughing Association. And we'll just remind our listeners to note that by 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, the people who intend competing should please have full details in with yourself by 10 a.m. on this Saturday morning, our original data broadcast.
Yes, John. And also, I forgot to mention that the Clonakilty ploughing match will be actually signposted from the Super Value roundabout in Clonakilty. It's all weather dependent, but we have been waiting a long time to get to this. Like, it has been 10 weeks since we had our last ploughing match until the Timoleague started up last Sunday. So, like, people, they just want to get it done now and finished.
So far, so good. So thank you, Caroline, very much indeed. Thanks a million. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you, John.
You're very
John.
Welcome. Next in the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Miss Finola Colgan, Development Officer, Mental Health Ireland, and also National Lead for Mental Health and Farming, looks at some ways in which farmers can remain positive during the current adverse weather conditions. Joining us on the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Miss Finola Colgan, Development Officer, Mental Health Ireland, and also National Lead for Mental Health and Farming. First of all, Finola, welcome to the programme. Now, what are the main issues that farmers have been dealing with and continue to encounter in recent weeks?
Because of the conditions and how it's impacting on the land, farmers are just not able to get their stock out onto the grass at this time of the year when they normally would have had. And of course, coupled with all of that, then they've increased feed costs and fodder requirements, and then, you know, that can be such an issue depending on location within the area. So really, I think it's the weather is the major one at the moment, and it's colouring people's moods as well and what they can tackle as well, John.
Could you point to some of the main things farmers can do to help themselves cope with the unexpected issues out there and try and control and strengthen their resilience to these, you know, disaster scenarios?
Lovely, John. You've used two very important words there. You've used the word coping and you've used the word resilience. And in Mental Health Ireland, and Dairy Gold liked it when we were doing our workshop, the five ways to wellbeing: connect, be active, take notice, keep learning and give. And like, if you were to, like anybody that's listening, and just think about those five ways, like one for each finger, another the left hand or the right hand, you know, connect is about, which is what farmers are doing, what Dairy Gold has been doing with its farmers in the last little while, reaching out to them, connecting with them, seeing how they can be supportive, encourage them to talk. The active thing, like, it's often kind of a challenge with farming, because the thing is that with farming, it's an active, it's a really demanding activity anyway. So the whole idea then for a farm to be active in other ways, maybe just give themselves a stroll. I know it's a difficult thing to suggest in the times, but you know what? Just taking that time out for a walk for yourself. And then the taking notice, again, just take notice of how you're feeling. Take notice of what you can control. And there are things you can control, like maybe there's jobs that got left on hold that can be done, a little bit of repair work. And then, of course, keep learning. It's like, you know, learning, gaining new knowledge, gaining insight can always motivate us. And it clearly keeps the brain active as well. and you know, maybe sometimes to take on a new piece of learning in terms of maybe using your local library. And you know, when you do all these things, John, you go back out, like if you use your local library or you go out to join a local group or go to your GA match, just it's about getting out, it's about connecting. And I know the last one is give, but you know, we tend to think about giving. Irish people, Irish farmers, as we know, are particularly giving. They do local fundraisers, tractor runs. They do massive fundraising and make a difference to their own local communities. But the thing is, it's very important for farmers to give to themselves, give time, give themselves a break, not to go too hard on themselves because of the weather. And, you know, John, like, and I've been talking to a few groups lately, just to kind of take a step back and say, you know, this is the way it is. There are things I can't control right now at the moment, vis-a-vis the weather. Unfortunately, the high prices are something that can't be considered as well. But you can take control of eating, communicating, talking, and getting out and about. There are five very simple steps, and the groups that we worked with, Dairy Gold and Dairy Gold themselves, they really like those five ways, John.
And I understand that, in fact, there have been quite a number of meetings around the country. I think up to 9 Dairy Gold health and wellbeing meetings were held in recent days.
Yes, they did. And I was honoured to be asked and delighted and invited to be party to the process. And Dairy Gold were very clear in why they were doing this. You know, they contacted me because they wanted to reach out. They wanted to connect, not alone with their own board members and staff members. So they wanted to reach out to farmers and say, and give them the positive message that, you know, to encourage them to talk, to gain support and to reach out, because I guess not just, you know, men tend to be shy about reaching out and seeking help, but when men come together, you know, they can support each other. And the big thing they learn when they come together like that, and to encourage that conversation, that chat, and that makes such a difference. And then the other thing I've seen from the sessions that I was involved with, you know, they were able to offer each other advice as well and how they were managing their situation. And I thought that was invaluable as well, because it's, you know, peer support. And that the big thing, the big message that they were putting out and was the importance of listening. It is such an important thing to do. Just listen. You don't have to have the solution if you're a listener, but you're giving the solution by listening and being patient and giving the person that's talking an opportunity to work things out.
Farming, it's taken as a rather isolated type of career, but insofar as you can meet other people and intermix and get involved and stay involved in social intercontact, are we being over-optimistic and you're seeing light this and there by talking about positives? There could conceivably be positives in the current weather crisis.
Yeah, John, I think it's wonderful you're making that point, because in life, and I think this is why farmers are so resilient, we live in a community, we live in times, articles in the paper, be positive, be happy, be this. And it can be very soul-destroying if you're not feeling positive, if you're not feeling happy. And that's why farmers will now know as well, even through these difficult challenges of weather, that, you know, they will get through it, things will change, and be like it, the weather was never bad. So it's about helping people, supporting people. And again, I think this is why Dairy Gold were so keen to reach out, to encourage people to hold on to that level of optimism. Because, you know, if we don't hold on to hope, we lose a lot, don't we, John?
We do indeed. We've been, you know, discussing things in very general terms. But if you had to sum up in final words, just something handy for farmers to grasp and for them to bear in mind, a few final words for farmers to remember and stay positive.
Yeah. Sometimes the older farmer is more resilient because they've come through life where Dairy Gold were reaching out and breaking down that barrier and breaking down that loneliness, that, you know, because Dairy Gold is a unique co-op in Ireland, and it's for our farmers, by our farmers. You know, that's it's a wholesome organisation. But when we were chatting the other day with Niall O'Sullivan and Niall Griffey, like, you know, they reminded me that, you know, like that, you know, George Washington, and, you know, you think about how America grew, how Ireland grew. We all grew from a rural background, by and large. Just people moved out and built up towns and built up cities. But so George Washington, and I love the quotation, was Niall highlighted this: farming is the most healthful most useful and most noble employment of man, it is indeed the groundwork of civilization. And within that, you know, we cannot live without food, and our farmers are providing that. So it's about farmers feeling proud to be the people that they are, even though I know they come in for a lot of, vilified is the word that often use about climate change and that. But they're having to deal with all of that, John. And I think farmers are great leaders in our community. They're resilient, and we can gain a lot of hope from how they manage difficult situations. And then, you know, like that we wouldn't forget about it, that, and again, it's a unique service that Dairy Gold have this wonderful service for their members, shareholders, the what they call EAP. It's an employment assistance program. But again, that's a service that's open and they can contact Dairy Gold about it. But I've heard people like they like to use that service just to phone somebody for the chat and reassure themselves, John. And that's a really big thing that Dairy Gold are offering their members. Let's not forget about our big partners, and they've been really running out big time in all of this. Chagas, they have an exceptionally fine page about supporting farmers in adversity in different types of situations. In my organisation, Mental Health Ireland, we have a page called Farming Resilience. You may feel isolated, you may feel lonely, but by reaching out, putting your hand out there and contacting people, it can make such a difference. And you know, John, the biggest connection people can make is with their local radio station. And this is the importance of programmes like yours and sponsored by Dairy Gold.
Well, that's wonderful indeed to hear. Thank you very much indeed. Finola,
so important.
Miss Finola Colgan, Development Officer, Mental Health Ireland, and also National Lead for Mental Health and Farming. Finola, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Mr. Michael McCarthy, Tillage Advisor with the Chagas office in Mallow in County Cork. First of all, Michael, welcome to the programme. Now, as we all know, the weather is impacting very severely on tillage, on all farming sectors, but tillage is being very badly hit.
You just said it there yourself. It's been a horrendous spring. I suppose a horrendous back end to 2023, which led on into 2024, I suppose. People were for ages thinking, you know, hopefully it'll dry up, and just the dry up never came. So the rain continued to fall in quantities that we hadn't seen for a long time. And that has had a fierce impact on tillage over the past couple of months. Tillage farmers are under an awful lot of pressure this year because, as we know, it started raining around the end of September last year. There was a brief window, very, very small window, in mid-October for a bit of winter planting, and there was really nothing after that then. So the level of work done in the autumn of 2023 was a way down, which meant there was a lot of work to catch up on in 2024, and that just simply didn't happen. So all the best plans were just thrown out the window. I suppose, look, to start with, very low amounts of winter cereals planted, probably a bit more planted in the northern side of the county, in kind of the Mallow, Castletown, Roche, Killavullen area, than there would be anywhere else. Certainly around Kinsale and, you know, places like that, there's that bit less planted again. I suppose the late harvest of 2023 had a big impact in that, because I know farmers who were finishing cutting barley crops when others were planting winter barley, you know. So, you know, the weather had a massive effect on things last year. And look, we can't gloss over the fact that 2023 was a difficult year financially for tillage farmers as well. Crops didn't do as well as we hoped, especially spring crops. And I suppose a lot of people are kind of banking that 2024 will be a better year, and unfortunately we've kind of got off on the wrong foot to start with now, given the fact that we are so late. The sun is shining as we speak at the moment, and work is being done. It's been so wet for so long, and so little work has been done, that, you know, farmers are under huge pressure now, and there's an awful lot of work to get done. And not just tillage farmers, all farmers in every sector have a lot of work to be done, because look, the fields could not be travelled up until now. So I know there's a big panic on, but I think it's at times like these we really need to focus on health and safety and being safe, because just because things are busy doesn't mean we have to throw the rule book out the window. I would urge people to please, you know, take their time, assess the situation, make sure it's safe, because, you know, we've all had near misses and we all have stories to tell. And thankfully, they're just stories. But in a lot of other situations, those stories became reality for families, and it is deeply, deeply affecting. So I just would have urged everybody to really keep the health and safety in mind this spring, given that there's so much pressure on people at the moment.
A couple of seconds, literally a couple of seconds of lack of concentration, being pulled in different directions, different things to do, the worry that's there about the weather, etc. So all of those things, very, very important, health and safety, a reminder. Could we come back to spring planting? You were talking there about crop choices and margins, seeding rates, ground conditions, spring planting and the management of winter crops.
Absolutely. I suppose, you know, I started on a negative note, maybe, John, there, just outlining the situation, and unfortunately it is negative. But a couple of positives to be taken are, in the last couple of weeks, we have seen a rise in grain prices, a small rise, and they are holding steady. As people will know, grain prices tended to dip since last harvest. There was a steady downward trend in the world grain price, but that has increased a bit and it is holding steady. And the other thing is that fertilizer has come back an awful lot, you know. The nitrogen and compound fertilizer are being bought now at, you know, significantly lower prices than they were being bought this time last spring. So look, I suppose to start with spring planting, the first thing that we might talk about is maybe the plans that people had as regards a cropping plan. And given that we are late, like I said, it's the 18th of April, you know, what do people do now? Well, I suppose, look, the first thing is, I suppose, we can't take this as a one-year-off scenario. I suppose when it comes to crops and crop rotation, you know, crop rotation is done over a kind of a 5-6 year period, and we can't just throw it out the window because the spring is late. And I suppose the crops I would be thinking of there, John, are the likes of spring beans and spring oats. Yes, it's late. We're probably a month later than where we would like to be. Ideally, those crops, we'd love to have them in the ground for Patrick's Day. We didn't get to do it this year. But I still think that people should stick with the plan and think of their rotation, because as we know, look, beans and oats, they're the gateway to growing the likes of first winter wheats, first winter barleys for next year's season. The other thing to look at too is the financial element and the whole crop margin. As we know, there's a significant protein payment available for growing beans. There was a fund introduced last year in the new cap of about $7.5 million. So if we take the bean acreage that was sown last year as a guide, well, then that should translate to about €400 a hectare protein payment for protein crops grown this year. That was topped up last year. It finished out at €583 a hectare. We don't know if it will be topped up this year, but what we can guarantee is that it'll be €400 per hectare. It's a fund that's diluted by the total hectares of beans and peas and pulses and protein crops that are grown in the country. So if there are less protein crops grown, the protein payment per hectare will increase. So given that, and given that many of the merchants have offered a forward contract price of about €250 a tonne for beans, it still makes beans a financially attractive option, even if they were to yield, say, something like a tonne and a half per acre. The caveat of beans, of course, being sown at this time of year, is that they will be late harvesting. It will be late September, possibly an early October harvest, for beans that are sown around this time of year. Now, the one positive of that will be is that, you know, in rotation with, say, some spring barley and possibly spring oats, you would extend your harvest season so that you don't have an awful lot of area to harvest together in the 1 week. But similarly with oats, you know, there's a good demand out there for oats in the last couple of years. A lot of the major millers out there manufacturing animal rations are including much higher quantities of oats now in the diets than they used to. So the demand for oats has risen in the last couple of years. But again, you know, planting oats now in mid-April will mean a mid-September harvest date. So it's just one to be aware of. But like I said, in the end of the day, you need to think of the crop rotation and you need to think of your bottom line, which is the margin you will make. And unfortunately, the economics of spring feed barley just don't, you know, they're not very stacking up very well this year. So I think the other crops are still worth a try. It's probably gone a bit late for spring wheat. You know, spring wheat is a crop that certainly we prefer to see it being sown in March, at latest the first couple of days of April, but it's probably gone a bit late at this stage. The other thing I would say to people is, before you change your plan, or if it is you feel that it's gone too late for a certain crop and you want to change to something else, maybe have a chat with the merchant first, because seed, as we know, was quite scarce this year, given that we had a poor harvest last year. And throughout Europe, there was poor enough conditions for harvesting, so seed supplies are quite tight. So you may want to change your mind as regards your cropping choice for this year, but the merchants may not have seed for you. So just talk to them first and, you know, then figure out what is the best thing to do. The other thing too, John, is just for people to be aware of it, is that even though the tree crop rule has been waived for this year, it will be enforced again next year. So, like, make sure you set yourself up that you have the slots for those different crops next year, and that you're not boxed into a corner. So I suppose, look, that's kind of spring cropping. The only other thing to mention is, look, we've had so much rain, ground is wet. Take your time, make sure land dries out, don't plant crops in suboptimal conditions, wait for the conditions to be right. You don't want to be in a situation where you have thin, patchy crops. We're at a stage now that we need, when the crop goes into the ground, it doesn't need to be hampered. It needs every opportunity it can to grow and give us a good yield. So look, wait until the conditions are right. In fairness, the drying the last couple of days has been very good. I know we've had showers, but there's been great drying, and I think the forecast is to continue on for the next couple of days. So just plant the crops in good conditions, not to be maybe jumping the gun a bit too soon and going into fields a bit too soon. That's about it for spring crops, John.
Have you any comment on winter crops in general, bearing in mind all the time the kind of on-off wet weather we're dealing with? Speaking to Mr. Michael McCarthy, tillage advisor with the Chagas branch in Mallow.
The most valuable crop out there at the moment, John, or crops, I should say, are the ones that are growing in fields. You know, the winter crops that farmers managed to plant last autumn and last winter, they're the ones we need to really focus on now, because there's a couple of key management issues going on there at the moment, and just not to be forgotten about. You know, things are really busy, fields need to be ploughed, they need to be harrowed, they need to be sat. But for the crops that are in the ground, they have potential. In fairness, even with all the wet weather, they've come through into the spring looking quite well, and there's a couple of things that farmers just need to be aware of now. Number one, I would say, is that make sure that nitrogen applications are finished. You know, get the nitrogen out onto especially winter barley crops now. It's mid-April. They need nitrogen. They're growing at an alarming rate at the moment, so make sure the fertilizer is in the ground for them to grow. The other thing is, we've had a very wet spring, very high disease pressure. So if you haven't already, consider giving winter barley a fungicide. There's loads of different options out there, but I would certainly do it sooner rather than later, given all the wet weather that we've had. And of course, maybe when you're going with a fungicide as well, to put in some growth regulator also, because, you know, the crops are are very nice looking. They're quite thick, and we don't want them lodging later on. So a bit of growth regulator in with the fungicide also. The other, I suppose, winter crop that we'll be looking at is winter wheat. There's not a lot of it out there. But there's a bit. There was a nice acre which was planted again in North Cork, like I was saying. That, again, is looking for its main split of nitrogen. It's growing mad. This is the time of year that we want the crops to take off. So give that its main split of nitrogen and be preparing for the first main fungicide on winter wheat. It's very important that we target the third last leaf when it's fully emerged, just to make sure that we get excellent disease control in the crop. And given the wet winter we've had, we've a lot of disease levels built up low in the plant. So I would forecast that fungicide application will be happening somewhere next week. So just make sure people are prepared for it, have the spray store ready to go, so that you can get out and get on that fungicide to give your winter crops the best chance possible.
This applications for this year, 2024. So your comment on this applications for 2024?
Yeah, I suppose, John, look, turning away from the tillage topic and I suppose turning back into some paperwork, we're in the thick of the BIS applications now, and just that people will be reminded, the closing date for applications is the 15th of May. So that is the closing date for making your BIS application, but also the closing date for transferring of entitlements. So look, we've less than 1 month left, so I would urge everybody to have a look, book an appointment with your advisor if you go to an advisor to do BIS. But be prepared. There's nothing worse than looking at this last minute and finding a problem and there not being enough time there to solve it. So look, there's a month to go. It's time to be prepared. All our Chagas offices in the county are taking appointments as we speak. So ring your local office, book your appointment and be ahead of time. But there are a couple of things that, you know, you should check. So if you've your appointment made and it's for whenever, a week's time, everybody will have received your envelope in the post with the maps and the pre-printed application form. That's the first place to start. Check those maps. Check that all the parcels are there and that nothing is missing. Check the pre-printed application form again to see that all applications are there, or all the land parcels are there. You know, a lot of people would have seen last year emails and letters coming from the Department of Agriculture in the middle of the summer called AMS checks. Now that stands for the Area Monitoring System. So last year, Europe launched two satellites, Sentinel-1 and Sentinel-2. And from what we gather is roughly every 10 days to 2 weeks, they are passing over us and they're taking imagery. And so they're doing an awful lot of checking. And it's a term that the Department of Agriculture uses called checks by monitoring. So it's picking up all sorts of anomalies and sending notifications out to farmers with queries on these anomalies. Now, such things would include farm roadways that were never marked out, buildings that were never marked out. So if a person, say, built a new shed, but they never took it out of their BIS application, a site, you know, someone got a site, a son or a daughter or whoever got a site, or a landowner sold a site. That was never taken out. So things like that. If there's any type of anomaly that the satellites will pick up, farmers will get a notification. And until these notifications are responded to, payments get held up. So it's very important that when you're at the application stage now, that you check over those maps and that you see, oh, there's a roadway running through this field, we better mark that out. Or there's a site gone out of the corner of this field and we better take that out. The more we can do ahead of time and stop problems from happening, the less problems we have at the back end of the year when it's payment time and people are ringing saying, I got no payment. And then we contact the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Agriculture say, oh, but there's a problem here. Such a farmer was issued with a letter and they never responded. So it's just to be ahead of time, John, and to have everything checked over so that it's all right going away. The other thing to mention too is, look, farming is getting complicated, but I suppose the structure of how we do farming is also just becoming that bit more complicated. It's not just a simple Joe Bloggs herd number D123456 sole trader anymore. We have an awful lot of farm companies now. We have farm partnerships and we have giant herd numbers. So, you know, if you're in the situation that, you know, you were sitting down with the accountant earlier in the year and the accountant advised you to maybe transfer to a company, just double check that your herd number isn't also being transferred to the company. There's nothing works where, if I take the example again, Joe Bloggs, the farmer, comes in and we do a BIS application, it's sent away, everybody's happy, and next thing, payment time in October comes, Joe Bloggs gets no money, and he rings me and says, what's the problem? Oh, what's after happening is the herd number has been expired because Joe went into a company earlier in the year but never mentioned it. So just check those things. Have you gone into a company? Is your herd number being transferred to the company? Are your entitlements being transferred to the company? Have you gone into a partnership? Is there a young person involved? Are you applying for the Young Farmer Scheme? You know, as we know, there's a very attractive Young Farmer Scheme out there at the moment. So definitely, it's something to think about, you know, consider going into a giant herd number or a partnership. But just make sure that the entitlements are correct and that they don't need to be transferred. And just to make sure that everything runs smoothly at the other end of the year. Okay, John?
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Michael McCarthy, Chagask Tillage Advisor, based in the Mallow branch of Chagask. Thank you, Michael, very much indeed. Thanks a million.
No problem, John.
And that's the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme for now. I'm John O'Connor. Thanks to everyone who contributed to our programme. The Farm Talk programme, Saturday morning, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m, Wednesday evening, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Podcast available on C103 homepage. Thanks for listening.
Farm Talk on C103 with Dairy Gold. Choose Gold Performance Pack. Includes biotin, YESAC and protected minerals to reduce lameness, boost milk solids and fertility.